This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. We live in the age of the internet famous, the YouTube channel hosts with millions of followers, the Vine and Instagram stars who parlay viral moments into steady cash flows. But for every multi-million dollar web sensation, there are countless artists stuck in a sort of fame purgatory. As Gabby Dunn puts it, too visible to have real jobs, but too broke not to. And Gabby would know. She's one half of Just Between Us. That's a YouTube comedy channel starring herself and her friend Allison Raskin. They have 500,000 subscribers and put out 2 videos a week. But that does not mean they're on easy street. Gabby wrote the article, The Sad Economics of Being Famous on the Internet for Fusion. And Gabby, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you so much, Virginia.
So if you don't mind me being so forward, how do you make money from your show?
That's okay that you're forward. I think that's something that more YouTubers and more people who make content on the internet need to talk about, how they're making money and who's paying what. We make money through YouTube, through AdSense, but you know, the ads that play before videos, and also branded deals where companies will sponsor one video. But I think people have this idea that you're making so much money just through YouTube or just from the videos, and that's not the case. A lot of times the videos are what lead to other gigs, so freelance writing or acting gigs, or, you know, working with brands on their channels to make stuff for them that will never appear on our channel. So there's this idea that YouTube itself is giving content creators tons of money, and you can just work on YouTube and that's it. But that's not the case. It leads to paying gigs.
Yeah, that was kind of my impression, that, you know, if someone was internet famous, they were making some bank. That's not your story.
No, I mean, you can have a ton of Instagram followers, but until you monetize that in the sense of like posting a video of you holding a box of autumn goodies that this company wants you to hold, then you're not going to make money just by posting to your, you know, 340K fans on Instagram. You have to turn that into something. But it's also this double-edged sword because fans hate that.
That was something really interesting in this article, like how people, you know, bite back at the quote-unquote sellout. But first I want to go to, you told so many stories in this article of people who, very much like you, exist in this kind of middle ground between fame and financial success. So tell us some of those stories.
Sure. The beginning of the article starts with a friend of mine, Brittany Ashley, who works for BuzzFeed, which is a huge company, and now she's there full time. But before she was there full time, she was an actress on their channel, getting paid $100, $200 for one-off videos. And she appeared in a lot of videos for them. And BuzzFeed has 17 million subscribers, so she was one of the most well-known faces there. But since she wasn't hired full-time and she was just getting paid for one-off videos, she needed also to have a full-time job. So she worked at a restaurant, and she would get recognized often at brunch and stuff. Often the kids would be very confused as to why this person that they watch on their computer and see as famous is working at a restaurant. BuzzFeed Golden Globes party was at her restaurant, so she was working serving the people that she also acted opposite.
So she was waiting tables at the restaurant where they were having this celebratory party. People thought she was faking.
Yeah, they thought she was doing a comedy bit. But she was like, no, I work here.
She's got enough fame currency to be recognized, but not enough real currency, I guess, to pay her rent.
Yeah, yeah. And then she eventually, I mean, this is her story, but she eventually like put her foot down to BuzzFeed, and now she works there full time. But the other situation is like this girl, Rachel Whitehurst, who was working at a Starbucks in Seattle, and she was making videos, and she had fans memorize her schedule at Starbucks and show up all the time to bother her at work. And so she eventually had to quit working there.
What do you think, Gabby, that's any different for social media stars than maybe actors who may make a living doing, or half a living doing, commercials, or musicians who aren't quite famous enough to stop waiting table? I mean, this middle ground success, is this a product of the internet age, do you think?
I think it is, because it's more, it causes things to be more widespread. You can have a huge number of fans all over the world who don't have to come to the performance. The performance is you posting it on the internet. They don't have to come to the cafe to see you. I mean, often people don't look up the actors in things. Like, I have friends who are on HBO shows who have less subscribers to their YouTube or less Twitter followers than I do, because I think the fans see me on their computer and then follow me naturally to other things on their computer. But if you like an actor in a show, you're not necessarily going to like their Twitter as well.
That's interesting. So if
Interesting.
you see someone on a show, I mean, there you don't have the same kind of access or I think sense of intimacy. How do you think that plays into it?
Oh, completely. There's an actress that Allison and I love, and we love her performance on this show. We think she's wonderful. And then we both had to stop following her on Instagram because she would just post about Jesus all the time. And we were like, it's not the same. Like, you're not get we're not following the character from the show that we love.
Well,
Whereas on YouTube, it is intimate because you're playing, quote unquote, yourself.
you and Allison did a sketch for your show, and it's called Don't Read the Comments. And of course, the whole idea is that you're trying to film an episode of your YouTube show, but you keep stopping because you're both obsessed with all the critical feedback people have given you. So let's hear just a clip from that.
Action.
Gabby, I can't believe this.
Cut,
Qu
cut, cut. Allison, why are you talking like that?
Oh, some people say that my voice is too high pitched, so I wanted to make it more relatable and less grating.
I have some notes on the script, actually.
You wrote the script. We're halfway through the script.
Yeah, but I was going through my Tumblr mentions, and people seem to find the Gabby character too aggressive, so I want to try to be a little less divisive.
But that's your whole thing. You're divisive and the sexually aggressive one.
Oh, can you see this? The
Can
label?
Just spin it.
I don't want people to think that we're secretly trying to sell them Trader Joe's water.
One, two, check, check.
Ow. How could you not do that?
Sorry, people get really upset when the audio quality is bad.
Number one complaint.
That's Allison Ruskin and my guest Gabby Dunn from Just Between Us, their YouTube show. Well, Gabby, you talk in your article about stars have to be careful about being perceived as sellouts, something that you sort of knock on right there in that little clip. How does that happen?
People seem to get very upset when you start monetizing your following. But I think it's because they think of it as greedy and they don't realize that it's getting paid to do a job that you've been doing for free. We'll get comments like, stop with the promotion, stop with the sponsorships. But Allison and I have been making two videos a week for free for 2 years. So there's, you know, 110 unsponsored videos that you could watch that are free. And we've made maybe 5 sponsored videos.
So do any of your followers, your many followers, pay for the videos? Do they support you financially?
Some of them do, yeah. There's a website called Patreon that is wonderful. I mean, the content is free. We would make the content for free. They're not paying to see anything, but they're paying as sort of like a one-person sponsorship. So Patreon's been a really good way for creators to make money because the fans will support them directly. However, in the article, I mentioned that a lot of times there's a push to support small YouTubers, which is like people with 10K followers or people with, you know, 5 or 20K followers. But Allison and I have over 500,000. So people didn't realize that this is a channel that they would need to support. There's no metric for what a big YouTuber is and what a small YouTuber is. It used to be you hit 1 million and you're golden. But now people have 7 million, 12 million. Like 1 million doesn't mean as much as it used to.
It's so interesting, though, that you're to have the support of your fans, you have to appear poor, for lack of a better word. I mean, you can't be making money on this, but yet you can't continue to do it without any money.
Yeah, and we also, our channel is a sketch comedy channel, and we post very often, way more often than a lot of channels do. So we have more overhead than, let's say, a person posting a vlog once a week would. We bit ourselves in the butt about that because we just wanted to do high quality, like scripted content, and that takes money. So we pay our crew and we buy clothes and costumes and stuff like that. And that's, you know, we could just, I don't know that the channel would be as successful if it was just us in front of a camera talking into like a shoddy camera. But even those people, they have to buy better lights, buy better sound equipment. Like each type of person making stuff on the internet has their own overhead. Beauty vloggers, you know, they have to go to Sephora and try to find the latest thing to keep up in the competition of, you know, we can't review something that came out 4 months ago. So there's costs to all of it that I think fans don't see.
So what would be success in your eyes? Is it purely financial benchmark or do you have other goals in mind?
Well, a lot of YouTubers want to just be YouTubers. And it's very interesting because, you know, young fans will say, I want to be a YouTuber when I grow up. And that's not really what you mean. Like, Allison and I want to write a television show. We want to make a sitcom based on us. And so that was sort of always the goal of the channel. And Allison and I used to work for BuzzFeed. And we would get young people saying to us, I want to work at BuzzFeed. My dream is to work at BuzzFeed. And I would always say, no, your dream is to work in video production. Your dream is to produce television or films. Like, you can't think of it as this company is the end game or making YouTube videos is the end game. These young people have to know that what they actually want is to write content, to be video producers. Like, it's this disconnect that I don't think that they realize.
Well, Gabby Dunn, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Gabby Dunn, she's a comedian and a writer, and she's internet famous for her YouTube channel. It's called Just Between Us. You'll find a link to read her article, The Sad Economics of Internet Fame, which she wrote for Fusion. That's at wordofmouthradio.org.